This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Perrin in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right, throws to the end zone. Catches Brady. Touchdown, Danny Amendola.
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostkowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extend, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hi, everyone, a very pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to our maiden voyage of a show that will spend the next 17 weeks talking about the Patriots, of course, and hopefully well beyond the regular season into the postseason. And we begin right away with a special guest this afternoon, Devin McCourty, to launch the program. And Devin taking time out of the preparation, of course, for this weekend's matchup, the season opener with the Miami Dolphins, and for the fourth straight year announced as a Patriots team captain. So congratulations on that distinction, and also, of course, on your recent award as the Ron Burton Community Service Award winner for the Patriots.
Thank you,
Devin.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And thanks for the time. And before we get to the excitement of a season opener and the challenge of playing a division foe like Miami, especially a team it seems as rich in skilled position talent as the Dolphins are, regarding the summer that was, I know you and your brother did a lot, speaking of your community service for sickle cell anemia, the battle against it, a cause very personal to you and your family. And you know, to reflect on the past summer before you look ahead, of course, to the matchup on Sunday, I mean, how gratifying has it been what you've been able to accomplish? Because you guys have really helped to lead a lot of progress in terms of research and work done to fight sickle cell anemia.
It's been great just to be a part of that and see so many lives it affects. It's been truly a blessing. And I'm happy this year, October 27th, we'll be bringing it to Boston and doing a casino night right in Boston. More details to come, but it's been great just being able to speak to people, see how much this affects their lives, and just seeing how proud my aunt is, and she's the reason why we started it and got involved with everything. So truly a blessing, and hope it continues to grow each year.
How have you grown in this role of a spokesperson and really a face of this franchise, one of the veteran leaders of this team?
Just kind of taking it all in stride. I feel like when I first got here, I was very fortunate. My locker is right next to Kevin Falk. And just talking to him every day, you know, just side by side our lockers, not always about football, but just about, you know, everything in life in general. And I look back at that and just realize how fortunate I was just to get his knowledge and, you know, everything that he learned from this game and being involved with it. I think he passed that to me, and, you know, I just feel like I'm just taking it all in stride now as my fifth year, being able to be a little more vocal, having more understanding of what goes on in the football field and off the field, to talk to players and different guys. So just trying to do what he did for me for younger guys.
Of course, that role also entails sessions like this, a lot of interviews, a lot of media scrums around your locker and standing with a microphone in front of cameras. Are you glad now that you can put aside all those questions about how elite this defense can become, what Darrelle Revis will mean to this defense, you know, what expectations there might be for this team? Because ultimately, they're going to be answered now the next 17 weeks on the field.
Exactly, and I think we have a lot of guys as a group that they're just like that, you know. We don't want to sit there and talk to you for months and weeks about, you know, how good everyone think we can be, you know, this guy, that guy. We just want to go out there and play football, and it's exciting. You know, we have a good group. Guys have worked hard, and we have a big test in front of us for Sunday. Like you said earlier, you look at them in the skill position wise, which is my focus. They're as talented as any group in the NFL, and I think when you talk about having a good secondary, these are the type of tests you got to go out there and play well if you want to have a good secondary and a good defense as a whole.
Well, let's start with the Miami Dolphins with Devin McCourty, of course, the leader of the Patriots secondary, the safety who will look across the line of scrimmage and see Ryan Tannehill, third-year quarterback, but in a new system. He's already developed a lot in his first 2 years, but now he's playing in a role very similar to what Nick Foles has done with Philadelphia, we presume, because Bill Lazor came from the Eagles to the Dolphins. What are the challenges of that particular offense, And keeping that in mind, how valuable has your experience been to go against the Eagles the last two preseasons?
Yeah, I think, you know, the practice against the Eagles was, you know, huge. Just being able to see it, you know, it's a different type of offense that teams have an element of it, but nobody runs it quite like Philadelphia and now Miami. So I thought that was key. And I think when you look at Tannehill, he's kind of the perfect type of quarterback you want for that system. He's mobile enough that if you don't account for him on certain plays, he can run the ball and pick up the yards out of there. And he also is good enough with his arm that he can make every throw on the football field. So it's going to be a tough challenge. You know, I think there's different things that they do very well that we'll have to be prepared for and try to go out there and stop. And I think Tannehill's done a great job of picking up the new system and being able to run it and get it going. You could just see that throughout the preseason. Against the Cowboys, they got going, and, you know, that thing was really running. So it's going to be tough. You know, first game is always tough with a lot of sideline adjustments. You know, you see some things in the preseason, but it's not everything that they've been working on. So we'll have a lot of work to do out there on Sunday, just like we're trying to prepare for the week. But we'll have to do some things right there on Sunday on the sideline.
And as we've already discussed, you're already very familiar with the personnel, the skill positions, the wide receivers, Wallace, Hartline, of course, along with the tight end, Charles Clay. And in the backfield, not only Lamar Miller, who was very productive last year, particularly in the first game against the Patriots, but no Sean Moreno.
Yeah, and I mean, no Sean Moreno is probably the most productive guy we played all last year against us. So they got better. You know, it was a good group last year, and they got better, Adam Moreno and this year, you know, Gibson had got hurt early against us in the first game, but he's a really good receiver too for him. So we're going to really have to come to play, and I think we're ready for the challenge, and now it's all about going out there and playing to it on Sunday.
We're joined by Devin McCourty of the Patriots. In this defense, of course, there's a lot of experience. There are some young guys who really flourished the last couple of years. Jamie Collins late last season. Dante Hightower, I thought, much improved late last year as well. But you welcome back two of those so-called veterans, leaders in Gerard Mayo and Vince Wilfork, like yourself, captains on the defensive side. What's the importance of having those guys out there? How much do they mean to this team with their physical presence, let alone, you know, the emotional leadership they provide to this team?
I mean, it's huge. Anytime guys are elected captains, and for those guys, really for, I think, five or six consecutive years for Mayo and probably even more for V. So losing those guys is huge. And I thought we did a good job as a group, you know, moving on past it and going out there and playing, because there was nothing we could do. They weren't coming back. So I think it's great now, though, because we're in a position where we have, you know, the foundation of our defense back. And what they mean to the defense, I don't even think you could put into words. You know, Mayo's a signal caller, and Vince is kind of that heart and soul of the defense up front. So it feels good. You know, we walked back on the OTAs, and Mayo was back out there, and Vince, and now we've just been moving in stride with them out there, and look forward to opening the season with those two guys.
A lot of people here rightfully excited about Chandler Jones. We got a glimpse of what he can do, in particular against Carolina, now in year three with another year's worth of experience under his belt. Rob Ninkovich, so steady, it seems, always in the right place at the right time, and in particular against an offense like Miami's. The value of guys like that at their respective positions, can you qualify that or quantify that?
No, I mean, you're talking about two guys that last year played over 90% of the snaps for the defense as a defensive end, which is already tough. And I thought Chandler did a great job coming back this year, putting in a lot of work to put himself in position to have another great year. And Ninko stepped in and was the captain last year, and he's that type of leader and that type of player that we depend on each week to go out there and really be dominant at his position. And he's been doing that the last couple of years, and it's what we kind of expect from Nico, and I think Chan is developing into that veteran-type player that we expect that out of him every week as well.
Devin, let's talk about the back end. Darrell Revis, of course, added to the secondary. We won't get a chance to see Brandon Browner until week five, but how's it all come together for the group, led by yourself as a safety?
It's been great. I think, you know, with Reeves and Browner coming in, they really came in and pushed themselves to learn everything and to go out there and put everything on the practice field. I think we were able to pick up things quickly in OTAs, and that led us right into training camp where we were able to pick up where we left off. And I thought that was a key to us becoming a good unit. Adding two veterans You know, it looks great on paper, but it's all about developing as a unit and going out there and be able to play together. So with those guys and then with Kyle, a guy that's played a lot of snaps, and Zoe getting back out there, and I thought Malcolm has done a great job coming in as a young guy and falling right into place playing with a veteran. So I'm excited. I think we have a good group at the corner level and a lot of experience at safety.
Well, one guy who would concur is your quarterback, Tom Brady, because he said this morning that while Miami has a very good defense with very aggressive corners, the last 5 weeks his offense has been practicing against a defense in a secondary, very aggressive, very difficult to play against. So you guys have helped prepare the offense, and I'm sure you're very excited about Sunday going against Miami. That's
always good to hear when number 12 saying good things about you. So we always, I mean, it's competitive in practice, yeah, and that's how it's been. You know, not just these past 5 weeks, but even the OTAs. Nobody wants to give up anything. And Tom's talking trash. We're talking trash. So I think that helps us at the end of the day. It helps us go against teams that have good offenses, good secondaries. We go out there and get each other better every day.
Well, Devin, it's the end of your work day here in the facility, mm-hmm. though I know there's still a lot to be done there for you. Nice that your coach could order up this weather to resemble Miami, get you guys set for the Dolphins on Sunday. And we certainly appreciate the time.
Yeah, that's one thing. Coach always knows the weather that he wants to be brought in for the week. So we'll be ready to go Sunday, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, Devin McCourty, captain of the Patriots. We'll continue with more of the show right after this here on Patriots.com.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up.
Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show. Get the view from the booth as we go inside the broadcast booth with the Patriots Radio Network broadcast team.
Brady's in the gun. He's got the Who Man on the right wing. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Pull off the building! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
Here's former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak and the radio voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And we welcome you back. Our thanks to Devin McCourty, of course, launching the show, coming in at the top of the program. And now I segue into my broadcast partner, as you just heard, Scott Zolak, with whom I've had a lot of fun. It's been a blast week in, week out, through season number one and preseason number two. Now we get ready to get it going again on Sunday in South Florida. Zo, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, man? I think I almost tore my fart box on that one right there. My God. Oh, I mean, we've called four preseason games this year, and it's just fun to hear that call again, even though I stepped all over you and broke your toes and the ramifications that came from that. We had fun last year. There were a lot of fun moments in that season. I mean, I'm really excited this week to get on that plane, get down to Miami, and do this for real, as you are.
And I got to set the record clear here, because Scott Zolak last year was a great lead partner when it came to dancing our way through the season. He led this rookie through 2013. We had our missteps along the way, me in particular, but like you said, it was a blast. But I think we're all excited about the prospects on the horizon of 2014. But of course, the season opens after a very eventful week and a half or so for the Pats. What do you make of what's transpired these last 2 weeks of the preseason and now the opening week of the regular campaign?
Well, I think, obviously, everybody looks at the Mankin situation, and, of course, when that happens, and, we were there at the gala, to kick off the season, and, Logan was up there on stage with Brady and, Gerard Mayo and Vince Wilfork and four former captains and guys that pretty much epitomized the Patriot way as to, how you do things within that building. And, four guys set that standard high. And when Logan's name was announced in this trade, I think we were all shocked. But once you read into it and you find out, all the details, and as many details as you can, we never really truly know every single detail as to what goes on. They look at things and they place a certain value on a player, as you should. And I think so many times fans and, people that follow the teams and the National Football League forget that this is a business. These guys are working. These are jobs. And they're balanced. There's balance that needs to be made on teams. You have to balance a budget. You need to get good value from each player. And when you think those two things aren't equal, you need to make a move in the best interest of the team. The best thing that Bill Belichick's done, that he has done over the years, is that. And like I said, there are other three guys up there on the stage when we did the gala that will keep this train moving and keep the young guys going and try and get over that initial shock of Logan departing. And, hey, in comes a new guy, Tim Wright, and I'm excited. I got the little guy here, so he's excited to get in the pool here. Last couple gas days of summer as we're in the mid-80s here in Foxborough.
Well, before you dip your toes in the Atlantic this weekend with the Pats headed to Miami, let me ask you about the challenge of playing the Dolphins.
I'll be in that water. Just got to watch out for the what do they call those things? Man of war? Those jellyfish?
I'll look out for you, Zoe, as I always try to do.
Yeah, we'll throw Capello in first.
There we go, exactly.
The waters.
Exactly. Mark Capello, our radio producer on the Patriots Radio Network. But, talking about the Dolphins, obviously much is made of the change for Miami at offensive coordinator. This is a team that was poised to go to the playoffs last year, beat the Patriots with that come-from-behind win in Week 15, and then totally tanked it. Just 7 points the rest of the season versus Buffalo, New York. Made the change at offensive coordinator with Bill Lazor, former assistant with the Eagles, taking over for Mike Sherman, and it seems, we presume, instituting the Eagles' up-tempo zone read style of play.
Yeah, but you got to have the right people to do that. And that scares me because, I mean, if you're a Dolphin fan, I mean, you're a team that's searching still for an identity. I thought they really handled the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin situation well last year, where, you know, that type of thing happens to a team where locker rooms are split or divided. I think we later found out that maybe that locker room wasn't so divided, and many people didn't think Richie Incognito was that bad a guy, and that they would love to go to war with him. Sorry to use those terms, but that's what this game is. If these guys collide, they are warriors. They go to battle, and the Dolphins showed some good resolve coming out of that. But as you said, Bob, you know, they kind of faded there at the end of the year, and they kind of thought they may have found Ryan Tannehill, and I thought he competed well in that Patriot game, and you know, that was one heck of a game that went down to the end. We saw that. And, you know, they need to figure out what they are. I think offensive line troubles up front force them to go to something different, that maybe that up-tempo type offense to try and keep, you know, the other front seven that they're going to face defensively, you know, a little tired, make them get into that, you know, run and chase game. I just don't know if the Dolphins have those pieces. I look at Knowshon Moreno, and I don't think that he's a back like, you know, LeSean McCoy. McCoy's the guy that makes that whole Eagles offense tick, and mm-hmm. You know, Foles does a good job operating that. You take a guy, you know, like Mike Wallace, and he's been playing a lot in the slot. Wallace is an outside guy. He's a speed guy. He doesn't want to get hit. He doesn't want to go over the middle. He doesn't want to catch slants or hitches or screens. That guy wants to go deep. He wants to run post corners. So Miami needs to find out what they are. And I think it's scary for them to face a New England team that I think we all look at and say, boy, they're a wagon. They're loaded on defense. The acquisition of Revis, you know, what we saw from Chandler Jones in that third preseason game and what it can be. If I'm Miami and I'm trying to face that, they better be able to make plays on the outside. And second and long, third and long is a recipe for disaster for Lasers offense.
You know, it's a great point you make, too, about Mike Wallace, because Chip Kelly felt that a guy like DeSean Jackson really wasn't necessary in his offense. And here are the Dolphins trying to use Mike Wallace, it seems, kind of in a similar role. As you mentioned, he's not a guy that has shown through his career that he'll really want to go fight for balls or get hit.
And Pittsburgh had it perfect for him. They just stuck him on the outside. They had a good tight end. They had Antonio Brown. They had the other kid that went to what the heck's his name? Went to Denver.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Right now. Sorry,
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, Manny Sanders. I mean, you got Manny Sanders, you got Brown, and Wallace was able to be kind of that outside over the top threat. I don't care what kind of offense you run in the National Football League. And we saw this with New England last year where they stalled in the AFC Championship game. If you don't have a guy that can back off a defense, that allows safeties to creep up, that allows corners to play that crouch and that bump and run, you got to have a guy that takes the top off the defense or that has the threat to at least run through it. Because if you don't, defenses, they're just going to come after you all day long. And, you know, Mike Wallace really gives them that weapon on the outside. And Hartline's a pretty good competitor. So if they really shrink things and cut the field in half and put those two guys on the same side of the football, that does nothing for Miami.
Hey, do you worry about the tempo of the game? I mean, the Dolphins want to play fast, but it certainly seems as though the Patriots can play fast on offense or defense. And I've read where some coaches say, you know, you get into a rhythm. However fast a team plays, you get into a rhythm.
Yep.
A team that creates problems for you is a team like New England that changes its tempo.
Sure. And I mean, even when New England elects to go up tempo, what's always been the recipe to beat Brady? Keep the ball in his hands. You want to control the clock, control that football. I look at the Patriots, they're like the Lakers of, you know, late 80s and 90s, man. You want to run and gun, let's go. We'll get in that track meet with you. So if Miami wants to do that, I'm all for it. And, you know, then New England will have potential to hit 28 points by halftime.
And what do you think of the offensive line for the Pats? So I know it's a legitimate cause for concern for many, in particular playing up against the Dolphins' defensive front.
I think you put the best five guys up there to give you the chance to win. And obviously, I think Marcus Cannon's one of those guys. I still think Vollmer's on the outside with Solder. The best thing I think they had going for him was two bookends that have big, they're big in stature, they're big anchors on the outside. And maybe that left guard position is somewhat fluid. You know, maybe it's one guy one week, somebody else the next. Maybe these rookies give you something and they could kick over. But I mean, we saw Josh Klein, we saw Jordan Devey basically play every position. You saw with Wendell in the middle, you got Conley who was elected team captain, and congratulations to him. You figure it out on the left side, you roll with it. Yeah, that's up to the quarterback too. I mean, he's got to make sure they're all on the right page up front, because in essence, those are the guys protecting him. You know, going back to the Logan thing, that's how they got beat in the AFC Championship game. They got beat up the middle. You know, that key third down, that fourth and three, you know, early in that third quarter where they need to make a play. To beat Tom Brady, you pressure him from the middle, from the interior, and they've got to shore it up. Put five guys on the field and let's roll. And I think that's the way they're going to look at it.
And so looking back to last year's game against the Dolphins, and with this I'll let you go, Tom Brady went into that game with no Rob Gronkowski. It was the week after the Cleveland contest, right, and his knee injury. No Aaron Dobson, no Kenbrell Tompkins. And you think back to that last series, he was trying to throw to the end zone to Edelman, Amendola, Colley. They go in this weekend, the Patriots do, possibly with Gronk, a strong possibility. Tim Wright added to this team, a good red zone target. And, of course, Tompkins, Dobson back in the lineup to join Amendola and Edelman.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you what, if 87's in uniform, I'm going to feel like Wes Walker did at the Kentucky Derby party. You know, I mean, that's the type of euphoria that I'm going to be ready to call that game with. But you know, I said this on our radio show. Tell me this if you're a defensive coordinator. Here's my lineup, and I send them out. I got Gronkowski playing the Y. You put Tim Wright in as the move F. You give me a big target like Brandon LaFell. Say Dobson's in the game. Forget about, you know, Tompkins. What are you going to really do? Take Julian Edelman off the field in the red zone? Heck no. He's my spot guy. He's my crosser. And then, oh, yeah, then you add Shane Vereen as the back. It's almost, I don't want to say too much for Josh McDaniels, but it's such a tease as to, oh, boy, what personnel grouping am I going to send in? So as a defender, I don't know how you defend that. They right now, and I think that's health. The big thing we're talking about here is health.
Absolutely, Zoe. Well, I said I'd let you go. I know the Brozo is standing by. He wants Dad ready to to get cool and take a dip.
He just started his first day of kindergarten this week. You know, he's 5 wearing size 8 clothing, and, you know, it's situation where he's working on trying to stuff some of these little kids in lockers and that. So we just got to keep him out of trouble until Michigan starts recruiting him in 14 years. So I say 14 because I'm going to hold him back 2 more years. So
yeah, the proverbial
Bobby,
chip
I'll
off the old block.
Weekend, pal.
Hey, Zell, I'll be listening tomorrow.
Keep that train rolling over there.
You bet I'll be listening tomorrow from 10 to 2 on 98.5, the Sports Hub,
great,
our flagship station.
All day, baby.
And then I'll see you tomorrow night at Mr. Sid.
Baby, Sports Hub.
Yeah, and I'll see you tomorrow night at Mr. Sid in Newton.
Mr. Sid.
Benefit for the Boys and Girls Club of Newton.
A lot of choices you have for sports radio. Don't be fooled. See you tomorrow, y'all.
All right, Zoe, thanks so much. We shift from Scott Zolak with a view from the booth. Thanks, buddy, to Jackie Britton, who's my partner with Patriots Today and, of course, covers the Pats on a daily basis on the field to off the field, and we'll be very busy tonight, in fact, tracking another community's event for one of the Patriots. But Jackie comes in, having spent some time in the Patriots locker room like I did, talking to players about this weekend. And Jackie, thanks for joining me. I know we've got just
Bobby,
a few minutes
to
chat.
We got a player intro first.
Oh, gosh.
But we're going to put my words and thoughts on hold
to the
for your official introduction.
I just, can't read.
The Kraft Sports Productions Bullpen.
I'm drunk on a plane.
Time now to welcome in Patriots team reporter Jackie Britton to the Bob Soucy Show.
We couldn't let her get off that easy.
I gotta say, wow. It
Kevin
does
Collins,
not
thank
get
you
worse.
So much. We are truly flying by the seat of our pants.
I was really excited
already,
that Bob was gonna just fly right over that and I wasn't gonna have to worry about that.
Jackie, I was trying to do my part, but leave it to the wily, cagey veteran back there behind the glass, Kevin Collins,
you're gonna
to
pay
set
for that
me
later.
Straight.
You're gonna pay for that later, Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah,
and no doubt it'll only be a matter of time before he throws a few jabs my way. But good to have you.
Yeah, this is exciting in your environment. I'm loving it.
Yeah, me too. A lot to be excited about for this season, but in particular this Sunday season opener. What's the set you got today?
Well, we heard from a lot of players. Definitely had a sense that the defense is something that the Patriots to be worried about. I heard that, you know, you're talking with Zoe about having Gronk back. Certainly that was an issue last year in the red area. So if they want to improve that, they've got the ultimate red zone weapon in Rob Gronkowski, and hopefully all signs will go for him. So that would be certainly all eyes on that position. And Darrell Revis, really looking forward to seeing him going up against Mike Wallace. I think that's obviously the prime matchup, but tried to hear from him in the locker room today and he didn't talk to us. So maybe tomorrow. Better luck tomorrow.
One of the things about this week opening in Miami, of course, is there's a lot of conversation about the weather. And here the Patriots are practicing in really probably the most stifling heat and humidity had consistently all summer long. So these final days of summer really as ordered up by the Patriots.
Right.
They get weather to prepare them for Miami.
Yeah, and I've been on the practice field the past 2 days. Obviously, we're limited now and with only about 15 minutes out there. But definitely the hottest and most humid weather we've had up here all summer. So definitely comes in a timely manner, you know, preparing for Miami. But on the practice field, you know, this week, everybody out there that is active on the 53-man roster, so that's certainly a good sign. But all eyes will also be on the offensive line. You know, we saw Dan Connolly certainly fills that leadership void, but in terms of who will take over at left guard, that's one thing to keep an eye on for Sunday.
Joined by Jackie Britton of Patriots Today and Patriots Press Pass and various and sundry other Patriots programming on Patriots.com. Does a great job of covering this team in year number two for her as well. Jackie, talking about the Dolphins, you touched on Miami's defense. Very imposing pass rush.
Yeah.
Good secondary, as Tom Brady told us this morning as well. And the Dolphins' offense, a bit of a mystery in some ways because it's a new offensive coordinator, but in many respects, it's an offense that is much like the Philadelphia Eagles and that Bill Lazor comes from the Chip Kelly branch, so to speak, you know, with that style of offensive play.
Right.
Up-tempo, a lot of different looks,
right,
a lot of read option for quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I certainly wonder how much of that, though, that you will see, how much of that carryover that you will see. And as I think Vince Wilfork put it best, he's like, you know, we can't really expect that, we can't rely on that, so a lot of adjustments to be made obviously at halftime depending on what they do end up getting. But you know, I don't really think you would expect to see a dramatic carryover, really. I mean, from the Eagles, I mean, you can certainly plan on the up tempo, but I wouldn't base anything else off of that.
You know, I think what you're going to see, and Zoe touched on it too, you've got a couple of guys who might be a bit miscast in this offense, and then there are a couple of other guys who really might be well-suited for this kind of an offense. You know, and looking at the Dolphins, I mean, does Mike Wallace become the Dolphins' version of DeSean Jackson from last year? Does Brian Hartline become Riley Cooper from a year ago? Can NoSean Moreno become the LeSean McCoy of this offense? And I think all those are question marks. But in quarterback Ryan Tannehill, he's a fast guy, he's very athletic, he's a former college wide receiver Texas A&M, so he is certainly a guy who might be well suited for this offense, which last year had a tough time protecting him. 58 sacks, including six in the game at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that you spoke with Gerard Mayo today earlier about that, and I mean, according to Mayo's scouting report, seems like he's certainly more he's making better decisions, I guess is the way he put it. But it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, you've had really just the preseason, but I guess, you know, you can look at the end of last year and make those assessments as well.
Patriot fans listening around the country, around the world, online here on Patriots.com. Bob Soucy with Jackie Britton. And, of course, we cover the Patriots for Patriots.com. I work on the radio broadcast as well on 98.5, the Sports Hub, flagship station of the Patriots Radio Network. And the last couple of weeks, it certainly has been tumultuous in many respects after a rather uneventful first 3 weeks of the preseason and most of training camp. A lot of people wondering from afar, I'm sure, you know, what kind of a jolt the Patriots locker room got last week when Logan Mankins was traded to Tampa Bay, and how have they responded? What's your sense being around this team?
I really like going to Matthew Slater for those kinds of questions because he does bring that human aspect, that human side of it that a lot of the team, I feel like, tries to just brush it off as another business transaction. But when you have a guy like that who was such a keystone to that offensive line for such a long time, you know, there is that very real human emotional element to it. And I think that the day that we went in there of the trade, the day the trade was announced, it was so somber. I mean, you literally felt like someone had died. I mean, it was just such a somber feeling. But, you know, Stephen Ridley said today, hey, look, we've got confidence in everybody here and we have to move on. And that's what Mankins is doing. And he's happy with his decision. And we have confidence in our coaching staff and whoever's there's going to be an offensive line. They're going to be there and they're going to do their job. We're confident in that. And we just have to, you can't stop the tracks from rolling, you know. But it was definitely today, it was, look, if your mind is not focused on Miami, your mind is not in the right spot. Last week, it was more about, yeah, I mean, we lost a really great guy in the locker room, and it's sad. I mean, a lot of them admitted that. They're like, it's sad, you know. But now it's all full speed ahead on Miami, and not even a week later. But I feel that kind of for Tim Wright, because he's been available to the media so much, and it's been so much of it has been about, you know, well, how do you feel about the trade? And it kind of puts him in an unfair spot. Like, it's, you know, the spotlight shouldn't be on him for that reason. It's not his fault. But yeah, that's the sense that I got.
Yeah, he seems to have handled it well.
He seems like a really great guy. I'm excited to see him also, like, really in a really game competitive situation if we get to see him on Sunday.
Yeah, as am I. And, you know, when we talk about trades that are made, another news-making deal involved Ryan Mallett, of course, backup quarterback to Tom Brady. And while we hope that Tom Brady is on the field throughout this season for the Patriots and well beyond, nonetheless, Jimmy Garoppolo earned the Patriots' coach's confidence. And you called it.
I
got to say, our position battles on Patriots.com.
I won the position battle for that
long, long ago.
I was excited.
You believed in Jimmy Garoppolo.
I kind of felt like that had been the tone, and then, you know, and then I felt like, well, maybe they will end up keeping three because Mallett had started to. There was a point where Garoppolo had not outplayed Ryan Mallett. There was a point during the preseason where that, or where, I'm sorry, during training camp where that had not happened. But during the games, it seemed like the bigger the stage got, the better Garoppolo did. And so I certainly was not at all surprised to see that happen. And I'm actually kind of, it certainly has to be a confidence booster for Garoppolo, even though I doubt would ever admit that. But, you know, good for him for really working all off season training camp. And I mean, essentially beating out Ryan Mallett is the way I look at it. For the I mean, he is the backup to Tom Brady. That's what you're looking at right now.
Yeah, so. He certainly is a young man who's very polished. I mean, this is a guy who didn't even have a playbook his last
right.
2 years of college.
I'm extremely,
really extremely
impressed
well.
With him. Like, on the field, off the field, he's extremely polite, just handles the media very well. He's just nice, gracious. He doesn't freak out. There's just this presence that he brings on the field that I don't think, it's an intangible that I don't think Ryan Mallett ever had. And I think Eric Salvino said this best. He was like, you know, he had felt like Mallett had kind of, at least for here, had kind of reached his mark. And Garoppolo, you could just tell, was continuing to ascend.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've just been extremely pleased with him. The way he handles pressure, doesn't freak out. You know, for such a young guy who had never been to an NFL game before, and then to play the way he did, extremely impressed.
Yeah, Bill Belichick last week talked about that, the career ascent of one player that you project and when another player might be at his ceiling, and hopefully those paths cross, and you, when right. you comprise your roster, keep the guy who's still on the uptick, and it certainly seems as though that was the case for both of those quarterbacks. Hopefully a fresh start for Ryan Mallett in a different setting back
right.
home in Texas really gives him a spark that he can build on for the future. But
yeah.
There is a certain magnetism, a certain polish about a certain quarterback like Garoppolo. Tom
yeah.
Brady obviously has it. He's earned
yeah.
it on the field, but he certainly has a commanding
right.
room.
That's the best way to describe it, is the way he commands the field, commands the offense, and that's what the team, that's what the players are going to respond to. You know, that's what you need in a quarterback. I mean, there's only so many, you know, there's definitely all the physical aspects to it, but to have those intangibles is huge, and to have them at his age with his experience is even better.
All right, Jackie, so. I know that your workday really never ends.
Yeah,
where are you,
I need some coffee.
Right,
y'all got some coffee in here?
Kevin Collins is the man.
I'm going to a Walmart in Walpole. There's a community or a charity event that Danny Amendola's charity Catches for Kids is doing. So it's, you know, back to school apparently here. So getting some book bags ready for some kids and some gift cards and sending the kids on their way. So I'll be going to that right now.
Danny Amendola, son of teachers, and he's
That's
a
right.
guy with some local ties, his family in the Boston area. And, you know, I guess you get to see both sides of it, too, because you are often out there reporting
right.
on the community activities of Patriots players. I mean, here's a guy who last year was under so much scrutiny and pressure
right.
trying to follow Wes Welker in the lineup for the Patriots, and then, of course, got hurt in week one. But he's done a lot of good, as we know, in
right.
terms of providing school supplies for
yeah.
needy kids.
He's been highly involved ever since he's gotten here. And, yeah, his Catches for Kids thing, he's talked about it before, you know, being the son of two teachers, it's obviously certainly really important to him. But we'll see how that goes. It's going to be like, I'm just picturing tons of like kids running around Walmart. I'm sure it won't be that chaotic though.
And you can see how it goes tomorrow on Patriots.com.
Right.
Watching
we'll
and listening to Jackie's report.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob, for having me
Jackie,
on. Good
thanks
luck.
So much. Looking forward to this
I hope
every
you'll
week.
Have me back.
You're
Kevin?
Welcome back anytime, and we'll work
Wouldn't
on that
have gone
intro.
Through all that trouble yeah. of making yeah. that whole thing.
By the way, I hope everyone understands. I don't know. That's a country song that I'm singing. I was not actually.
I'm
serious.
Drunk on a plane.
Yeah, that's a country song, okay? Just so we're clear here. I know country music's kind of in and out up here. But.
Was it sung by?
Oh, Bruce gosh. Springsteen. Why do you have all these queued up?
And if you didn't
oh,
know
boy.
Already, Jackie is a Georgia girl and takes a lot of grief around here for
yeah.
her non-New England, non-Boston accent.
Right. All right, well, thank
but
you
it's,
very
but it's
much
nice to hear a dadgummit every once in a while in these parts.
You said it pretty well. That was good.
too many years of listening to Bobby Bowden interviews.
Oh, yeah.
From the sidelines.
That'll do it.
All right, Jackie, have a good time tonight.
All right, thanks.
All right, Jackie Britton of Patriots.com. Olivier in Virginia has been on hold for more than a half hour, and I've put on hold the mission statement of this show and really the true introduction of this show, what we're going to be about these next 17 weeks of the regular season and plus hopefully a lengthy period of time into the postseason. Want to get you set with the phone numbers to dial in, plus our email address, 855 PATS 500. That's 855-PATS-500. 855-728-7500. 508-298-0398. I know a lot of numbers to deal with, but also webradio at patriots.com. That's webradio at patriots.com. And we'll tell you a little bit about our plans, and really they are plans that are very fluid. As you can tell already, we've gone back to back to back right off the top with our guests, Evan McCourty, Scott Zolak, and Jackie Britton. But we'll do that after we take this call from Olivier in Virginia. Olivier, I hope I'm saying the name correctly. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bob. Thank you for pronouncing the right way. And I wanted to call to, first of all, to welcome you to Patriots Primetime and to wish you good luck to perpetuate the big shoes that you have to fill, you know, following, obviously, the PFW crew as well as John Rook. So I wish you all the best and welcome to you know to the radio program this year.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Of course, last year I had to follow the great Gil Santos, the legendary voice of the Patriots, and still in my mind the voice of autumn in New England as the play-by-play broadcaster for the Pats and Gino Capoletti. They were the perfect, really perfect marriage, if you will, for radio and football in New England in particular. So that was daunting enough. And as you said, following those PFW guys and John in particular, a stern challenge, but hopefully with callers like you, I'm up for it. And, you know, I got a little practice with your name, of course, because the Dolphins have an outstanding defensive end in Olivier Vernon.
I know.
The Patriots are
going
to have to deal with.
First time that one of my, my name is finally, in the NFL lingo, but I kind of wanted to call also, Bob, because I wanted to understand what was the value proposition of the show. You know, what were you going to do, and how would you be differentiating this show from the other shows that are within Patriots.com? But after the radio announcements as well as the interviews that you had, it's clear that it will be way different, and it will be very informative from the source, because you will have you know, different guests from the team and from a different journalistic point of view. So I think it's great. It's going to give us different perspective and dimensions to explore.
Well, I really appreciate that. And if you've got any ideas, I'm open to them too, because, you know, we're still working on that plan. It's a plan in flux. It's kind of like the old Seinfeld episodes, you know, when George and Jerry proposed their sitcom to network executives. They talked about a show about nothing. You put it on TV and people will watch. Well, hopefully we put this show in many respects about all things Patriots, and in some respects, you know, hopefully not too often, about nothing, but
I think we've been starving for you know, for football, you
yeah.
know, for the last few months, and I think we everyone is looking forward to get different types of perspective on the game, and also you see different things because you're involved with different aspects of the organizations as well. So I think it's going to be great for the audience to listen to you, to your point of view. I have a question for you, and then I'll let you go. I was wondering, from your perspective, what is the most astute or the most interesting thing that we've done as an organization in the off season that may actually pay some substantial dividend from a player's acquisition perspective?
That's a great question, you know, and I think the easy case, the easy answer to that in terms of astute moves would be acquiring Darrelle Revis, the Patriots going out to get a guy in year two post ACL tear, who certainly has had a terrific training camp, it seems, and though we've seen him only on a limited basis and really in a limited role in preseason games, has been as advertised thus far as a Patriot, and I think he changes the complexion of the defense in a lot of different ways. But, you know, beyond that, I think when it comes to astute moves, while there is great cause for concern for the Pats, you know, with the dealing of Logan Mankins, as Jackie touched on, you know, I think Tim Wright is a guy that by the time he's done as a Patriot, and certainly as this season wanes on, can have a real impact in the red zone. When you look back at the offense a year ago, as productive as it was, and I know a lot of people often dwell on the inefficiencies of 2013 in the Patriots' attack, nonetheless, when you consider the Patriots' offense from a year ago, really the most glaring stat for me, with and without Rob Gronkowski, was in the red zone. A huge difference for the Pats, over 60% touchdowns in the red zone with Gronk on the field, and of course less than 50% without him. him on the field. And you go back to the second Miami game, as I alluded to with Scott Zolak during our interview, the Pats were 1-for-4 in the red zone in that 4-point loss. Got just one touchdown and really came away empty-handed twice with a missed field goal, as well as an interception on the last series inside the 20. But now you look at the complexion of this Patriots team. With Gronk back on the field when he does return, perhaps this weekend, with a guy like Tim Wright, now you have that two tight end approach that the Patriots enjoyed in a great way.
More than that now. It's even more multidimensional than
absolutely
the tight end approach.
Absolutely, because now you also have the possibility of two backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield, like Shane Vereen and James White. And I really think that White has been a promising player. I know in preseason games he got bottled up a lot, but certainly in training camp and in the joint practices, he really showed off his skills as both a runner and a pass catcher. And now when you talk about trying to create and take advantage of mismatches, putting linebackers on people, like last year it seemed at times Donnell Ellerbe, for example, in that second Miami game was spying on Shane Vereen. Well, now you line up with those split backs flanking Brady in the gun, and that's going to create a mismatch somewhere around the field with two good pass catchers out of the backfield. That pony formation of the Patriots go to that. And like you said, they could do a lot of different things. I think the maturation of Tompkins and, you know, Dobson's coming off the injury, and he's been dealt a setback in a sense, but certainly looked good, all things considered, against the Giants last week. And then with Edelman and Amendola, you know, I really have a great optimism about what the Patriots are going to be offensively. So
yeah, I think people don't realize what they can be and what they're going to be, because people are still, and personally, I think that what we've accomplished last year with all of the defensive injuries, with an offensive team that was still looking for its mark, and also to create a chemistry with a quarterback, if with all of the issues that we had, we still make it to the AFC Championship, imagine what can be done with a team that doesn't get injured like we've been last year, and a team that's starting to gel and more young kids that are starting to understand the system and the schemes much better. I think, you know, the future can look bright with a little bit of luck and perseverance. I think that we can go far. As usual, that's what we all expect. But I think from where we come from last year to where we can be this year, it can provide a lot of joy and a lot of things to talk about on radio shows. And then regarding Logan Mankin, I think that it's sad that he's gone and so forth, but you know, the good news is that he still makes his money, and his family is taken care of, and he will always be remembered here as a pillar of success. He will get his red jacket sooner or later, and ultimately, you know, the trade was surprising, but I think he also got taken care of, which is great. It could have been way worse than that. So, you know, I'm happy for him, and I think we did the right thing.
Olivia, it's a great perspective, and you know, I'm sorry to see him go, because I really enjoyed the brief time that I had to talk to Logan Mankins, and can certainly understand why he was so widely respected. And you're right, he's going to be a Patriots Hall of Famer, and he may very well be an NFL Hall of Famer in Canton someday as a six-time Pro Bowler. And he is certainly not done, but you know, unfortunately now, as he continues his NFL career, it's with Tampa Bay, but this is an organization that's overcome moves in the past and really flourished in the wake of so many of them, you know, of a similar type. So I share your optimism with this team, cautiously so, but appreciate your time today, and we'll look forward to talking to you, of course, in the weeks to come.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Olivier. Thank you so much. And, you know, I talked about the Patriots in the red zone offensively, and I think another area where we should see vast improvement for this team, and again, you assume close to full health, if not full health, because in the NFL, as we know, injuries are going to happen. But on the defensive side of the ball, and it was really a talking point right off the top of training camp this year from Rob Ninkovich's perspective as one of the leaders of the Patriots defense. The Patriots last year struggled at times, too often on third down. And you go back to the second Miami game, and I'll use this as an example, though the conversion rate for the Dolphins in that particular contest was not overwhelming. There were critical junctures of that game that I think, you know, really demonstrated some of the difficulties the Patriots defense had in 2013 that we should not experience in 2014 watching that team play. For example, Miami, Patriots lead at 10-0 late in the opening half. The Dolphins are in a 3rd-and-10 from their 18. They pick up a first down. They go on to score before the half. They get on the board. They're back in the game. That was an opportunity, really, for the Pats to distance themselves and put the Dolphins out of reach. Then, of course, there is the late game drive by the Dolphins before they take the lead inside of the final 2 minutes. Miami's in a 3rd-and-long, I think a 3rd-and-16. picks up nine, has a fourth and five, and converts. One should see a vastly improved third down defense for this team. And again, Rob Ninkovich, hit that sounding point right off the top of training camp this year when he met with the media for the first time, that when he looked back at last year, the defense has to get off the field on third down. Far too often in 2013, AFC Championship game against the Carolina Panthers on Monday night, in a close, close loss, of course, the Patriots struggled getting the opposing offense off the field. And when you talk about what this Patriots offense is capable of doing, I mean, now you're talking about close games in favor of the Pats, potentially becoming blowouts in favor of the Pats again, if the defense limits the opportunities for the opposition and forces those opposing defenses to have to deal with Brady and company. Let's go out to Wichita, Kansas, to Matthew, who's been on hold. Matthew, how are you today?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is, nobody speculated that, for a long time that Ryan Mallett was going to be traded. It kept going through Twitter and everything. I kept looking at reports and looking at reports, and I kind of figured, well, maybe he's going to be traded if his draft pick, Jimmy Gripple, was going to, outplay him or whatever. There could be a trade to prove himself.
Yeah, I think no question about it. The development of Garoppolo was a major factor in the timing and the decision to trade Ryan Mallett. All along, I was of the mind that the Patriots were going to keep three quarterbacks. Just looking at the history of the Pats under Bill Belichick, I think with one exception, and it might have been when Zach Robinson, off the top of my head, was drafted by this team. Generally, the Pats, when drafting a quarterback in that particular year, had kept more than two QBs. We know about when Tom Brady was drafted. The Patriots decided, really, in a move unprecedented, to keep four quarterbacks. When Mallett himself was drafted in 2011, they kept three. Prior to that, they did the same thing with the Rohan Davies and the Matt Castles. So I was of the mind that, Mallett was more likely to stay than go. But I think that the way Garoppolo really developed, he forced, in many respects, a move. This was not going to be a redshirt year for him, it seemed, based on the way he played in that Washington game. And, he talked about preparing as if he were the starter. And ultimately, while he has become Tom Brady's backup, that preparation has obviously served him well. In the case of Ryan Mallett, it's just unfortunate. You wonder how much he was affected in that first game against the Washington Redskins with an awkward slide. He had been in a knee brace going back to the summer. He missed a little bit of time during minicamp, and maybe that affected him in that preseason appearance against the Washington Redskins. But for whatever reasons, it was a very uneven Ryan Mallett preseason as a Patriot quarterback, and we didn't see him very much, of course, in week three of the preseason, and didn't see him at all in week four. So it's a move that I think the Patriots made on many different levels. I know John addressed it, to John Rook did in Patriots Playbook. There's the economic aspect of it. There's the forecast, what's left for Logan Mankins, what's here now with the young offensive lineman, what's the gap between them, what are the financial issues involved, et cetera. But, I think when it comes down to it, the Patriots really addressed a big need. They got a guy who can be very productive as a non-drafted free agent who didn't have a catch the first 2 weeks of his NFL career. Tim Wright last year had 50-plus catches, 5 touchdowns, and really played exceptionally well late in the season and often against very good defenses. Some of his best games against the likes of Seattle and San Francisco. And beyond that, they've got a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo who's really fast-forwarded his development in the preseason. But, as I've noted, hopefully Tom Brady's on the field for all of 2014 and well beyond. All right, Matthew, appreciate your time, and want to reset, because we go back to Olivier's question with regards to the mission statement of this program. We will get to that. We will run down the numbers and the email address yet again. We will tell you that Jimmy Cephalo, the former Miami Dolphin wide receiver and a longtime member of their broadcast crew, is going to be with us in this next hour to break down the matchup in further detail. But we will do all that after we pause for this timeout. This is the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And we welcome you back, hour number two of the so-called Bob Soucy Show, and I should tell you off the top that the show's name is owed as much to my unoriginality as my ego, which I'll admit is as big as anybody else's, but rest assured, this program is as much about you as it is about me. And more so, frankly, it's about the Patriots, their preceding game once we get into the season, starting next week, of course, and their upcoming opponent. The objective of this show, in my mind, entering this great opportunity, an opportunity that I was presented with last spring, coming off my first season working with Scott Zolak on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and of course following the great Gil Santos and legendary Gino Cappelletti, it was a very exciting proposition for me because it's an opportunity to work in a different platform and to connect with Patriot fans who are so passionate about the team, in many cases, of course, as you well know yourself if you're listening from afar, despite the distance from New England, as I've been told and have heard in listening to the PFW guys and John Rook, that it's a wonderful opportunity to talk to Patriot fans who are listening from across the pond and in some cases, and we are so thankful for them. Fans who are listening while in harm's way, protecting our country. So we know that it is a tremendous responsibility in talking about this team and try to invest the same kind of passion that you do in following the Patriots. And it's something I'm looking forward to. On Sunday afternoons and Monday nights and Thursdays occasionally with Scott Zolak, of course, working as the play-by-play voice of the Patriots on radio, I generally try to describe what I see, and then I try to get out of the way and allow Zolak in his own way to tell you why what happened did happen. Zo is the color analyst, is a guy who gets to break down the game, and you know, occasionally I'll offer some insights and periodically share some opinions about the Patriots, what's transpiring in that particular contest, in some instances about the league in general. But this is a wonderful opportunity for 2 hours every Wednesday from 4 to 6, and of course in a podcast version if you download it after the fact, an opportunity for me to share some insights, to really expose a different part of my personality as someone who really appreciates the wonderful opportunity that I've been afforded to cover this team and to call the Patriots games on radio. I can tell you off, from the very first moment on air, including every moment off air with Zoe, we have a tremendous time in the broadcast booth and, here around Gillette Stadium in my first year. Now, it's season number two for me as a radio broadcaster, but in my first year working with a very hard working and very dedicated staff at Patriots.com, Kraft Sports Productions, and of course, PFW, it's been a blast as well. So I'm very thankful for this chance to again connect with you and hopefully down the road offer a lot of thoughtful analysis with help from a lot of interesting guests, as we've already heard, including Patriots players and coaches. If you were with us right off the top, in the very first moments of this program, we were joined by defensive captain Devin McCourty. We'll talk with more Patriots players and coaches, of course, in the weeks to come. To hear from Scott Zolak on a regular basis. Again, stepping out of our roles on Sundays in the 98.5 of the Sports Hub broadcast booth and talking Patriots football with a little time to digest what we saw on Sunday. You know, we get caught up in the emotion of a game and you try to break it down, but instant analysis only goes so far, and in some cases, frankly, too often, in fact, it's off the mark. It's only in time when you hear from the parties that are involved, the players and the coaches, and you have a chance, in fact, to think about things and let them settle and study them yourself. Do you have really a good idea of what transpired and, of course, insight into what may happen the following weekend? So Scott is going to be a regular part of this broadcast. We'll share some more laughs, no doubt, in the weeks ahead. Jackie Britton, who teams with me on Patriots.com for Patriots Today, Patriots Press Pass, so all things Patriots programming and that's generated on a daily basis from inside Gillette Stadium, covering this team, a wonderful reporter and somebody with a very bright future, and quite frankly, someone who's done a great job covering the Patriots in her time here. And I noted as well her work in really keeping fans connected to what Patriot players and personnel do when they're outside of Gillette Stadium, reaching out in this community and serving the mission as ambassadors for the game of football, but more so for humanity. I mean, so many of these guys commit so much of themselves to their various foundations and charitable causes. So Jackie's going to be with us on a regular basis, and we will, as we do in this next hour with Jimmy Cephalo to join us before too long, we're going to hear from those who are most closely associated with the upcoming opponent for the Patriots, the guys who follow the team on a regular basis. For example, with Sunday's opener in Miami, Jimmy Cephalo will be behind the mic, continuing what's been a decade-long association for him with the Miami Dolphins radio network. He's a guy who played 7 seasons as a wide receiver for the Dolphins, had one of the longest touchdown receptions in Super Bowl history, played in 2 Super Bowls for Miami, caught a 76-yard pass for the Dolphins in Super Bowl 17 against the Washington Redskins, and he'll be joining us a little bit later on in this hour to talk about the Dolphins with a Miami perspective. You know, we can discuss all we want here in New England about what we might see on Sunday from Bill Lazor's offense against the Patriots defense, but we'll hear from Jimmy Cephalo this week, and of course next week we'll dive into the Minnesota Vikings and hear from someone who covers them on a regular basis. So again, the mission for me off the top here is to give you some insight and analysis. The show may bear my name, but quite frankly, it's less about me than it is about you, your thoughts, your insights, your opinions, and of course, the upcoming game for the Patriots, as well as the game that was the previous weekend. And we want to hear from you at 855-PATS-500 and at 855-728-7500, 508-298-0398. And I'll repeat those numbers again, 855-PATS-500, 855-728-7500, 508-298-0398, and on email at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Now, for those of you who have not been preparing for Sunday's game in great detail or depth, and have heard this discussion about the Miami Dolphins and their changing offense and the introduction of the Philadelphia Eagles/Oregon offense, of course, engineered first by Chip Kelly as a coach in Eugene, Oregon, and really before that, actually, as a graduate of the University of New Hampshire, coaching at his alma mater. Let's break down what's transpired for the Dolphins over the course of the last 12 months or so. Miami went into last year in year number 2 under Joe Philbin with Mike Sherman, the former head coach of the Green Bay Packers, as the offensive coordinator, very much of a Packer influence on that Miami offense. Philbin had been on the Green Bay staff before becoming the Dolphins head coach. In year 2, the Dolphins got off to a great start, 3-0, and then they really went through some very up and down times. Inconsistency plagued the Miami Dolphins throughout the year, and they had to deal with off-the-field distractions and issues, of course, with the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin affair, and the scandal that ensued because of Incognito's actions, the bullying that occurred in the Miami locker room, and yet somehow withstood that. The Dolphins actually went on a 4-2 stretch in the wake of the investigation of Richie Incognito and what transpired, and it seemed as though in a remarkable way Miami had kept things together when it was a season about to unravel, and the Dolphins Dolphins put themselves in prime playoff contention late in the season when they rallied to beat the Patriots, holding on while New England was threatening to score from the Miami 19. An interception sealed the outcome, and the Dolphins won 24-20 and then went on the road to Buffalo the following week and were shut out by the Buffalo Bills in inclement conditions, inclement especially as the Dolphins go, those from South Florida. Not so much the case for the Buffalo Bills, but the following week as well. Struggled against the New York Jets at home and were beaten by the Jets soundly, as they were defeated by the Buffalo Bills in Week 16 in lopsided fashion. So the Dolphins scored on just one of their final 25 possessions of 2013, missed this wonderful opportunity to salvage what really became a lost season with Mike Sherman as offensive coordinator. And shortly after the year ended, general manager Jeff Ireland was replaced. The official wording from the Dolphins was that owner Stephen Ross and Ireland had agreed to mutually part ways, and the writing on the wall or reading between the lines seemed to indicate, of course, that Ireland, who was definitely on the hot seat, not only for football decisions, but also because of the way he handled the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito situation, he was in all essence, fired by Miami. And then Mike Sherman was let go. So Bill Lazor was hired. Bill Lazor is a guy who had been an offensive coordinator for the University of Virginia, a young coach with an innovative offensive mind, it seemed. He was the offensive coordinator in Charlottesville, Virginia from 2010 to 2012, joined the Eagles staff as quarterback's coach last year, and was brought into Joe Philbin's organization, his staff, with the Dolphins. In many respects, it all seems to turn things around for the Dolphins offensively, to put quarterback Ryan Tannehill in a system that could afford him more protection, because he was sacked 58 times last year with an offensive line that struggled from the jump, and also to take advantage of his strengths as a QB. He's a young guy in his third year now out of Texas A&M, a former wide receiver who's very athletic. This offense for him, up-tempo, fast-paced, allows Tannehill occasionally to show off his legs, to run the ball periodically, but more than that, to get rid of the ball quickly. The Dolphins also revamped their offensive line. They made a big effort through free agency to sign left tackle Brandon Albert, got $25 million guaranteed. They signed guard Shelly Smith, 2 years, $5.5 million. They drafted Juwan James, a tackle, with their first pick in 2014. They really overturned the entire offensive line. Although, interestingly enough, the one anchor of the offensive line they had coming back, Mike Pouncey, won't be in action on Sunday. He was just activated off the PUP list after suffering a torn hip labrum in the spring. But nonetheless, for the Dolphins, there was a concerted effort not only to change the offensive style, but to create a new front line to try to protect Ryan Tannehill after he was sacked so often last year. And as we know, in Foxborough last season in October, when the Patriots rallied to beat the Dolphins in Week 8, it was the New England pass rush that really changed things in that game. The Patriots produced 6 sacks, none bigger than the strip sack by Logan Ryan, helped turn that game around. The Pats in the second half shut down the Dolphins, got a couple of turnovers, blocked a field goal, saw another field goal miss for Miami and Caleb Sturgis, and the Patriots came back to win that game against the Dolphins. They did it against a defense that is very talented and brings back many of the same parts that we saw last year. An outstanding pass rush, especially from the defensive line of Cameron Wake, Randy Starks, Earl Mitchell added from the Houston Texans, Jared Odrick, who had 2 sacks against the Patriots at Gillette last year, and Olivier Vernon, a guy who really broke through in a big way for the Dolphins the last couple of seasons. Miami overall in 2013 had 42 sacks, one of just 4 teams in the NFL, in fact, with 40-plus sacks the last three seasons. Their defensive coordinator, Kevin Coyle, comes from that Mike Zimmer, a Cincinnati defensive style of play. He's a guy that really disguises blitzes well, very aggressive defensively with the way the secondary plays. And although there has been some turnover there, and no longer is Nolan Carroll or Dimitri Patterson back there for the Dolphins, but they still have Brett Grimes, had a very fine season in 2013 as an addition to Miami. And now they have Cortland Finnegan trying to bounce back after an off year in his career with St. Louis, but a veteran and a guy who, as noted, plays very aggressively. So the Dolphins present that kind of a challenge against the Patriots this weekend in the season opener. And as we look ahead to that matchup, again, we're going to hear from a Miami point of view and broadcaster Jimmy Cephalo, the former Dolphin receiver, in just a short while here on the show. But I want to invite our producer, Kevin Collins, in to talk a little bit about you know, what we plan to do and what his vision is for this program. I've shared with you what I think makes sense for this program, but I know Kevin is a voice of reason. While I
appreciate
may serve
the
as a play-by-play
Bob.
Voice, but you know, Kevin, your thoughts about where we're headed in these weeks to come with this Patriots team and what we want to do to expose fans to maybe an inside slant, take a different angle on covering this team.
Well, it's certainly a unique opportunity we have here, Bob, with you as the voice of the team on radio. You know, we haven't done anything like this in the 14 or 15 years that Patriots.com radio has been up and running, and certainly not in the 5 years that I've been here producing. While we've had John, who's the in-stadium PA voice of the Patriots, you know, it's a great, unique perspective that you offer. Also traveling with the team, you have a little bit, you know, some stuff you can share, some stuff you can't share, but you have a lot of behind-the-scenes access, and you and Zoe certainly have a great sense of camaraderie on your road trips and whatnot. I think this program is going to be a more serious program, I would say, than the PFW boys noon to two. I can say that probably without a doubt. It's going to be a little bit more structured. We're going to have weekly segments and weekly guests, unlike we do from noon to two. But I think we're still going to have fun at the same time.
Yeah, I don't want to suggest that this program will be devoid of any personality whatsoever. We may not go where, say, Andy Hart goes from time to time.
We're not going to spend 20 minutes talking about, you know, cup sizes or, you know, how many guys Fred seen naked on the internet like we did today.
When you talk about cup sizes, you're not talking about, like, you know, the gulp size.
I'm talking about a female cup size.
We're not going to go there on this particular program. That's for sure. No, those
Shop
guys.
Your favorites, Victoria's Secret.
That cup size. Sorry, it took me a minute there to find it.
Gee, obviously,
Shop your favorites, again. Victoria's Secret.
Poor Bob, taken out of context, like usual. Like I took advantage of Jackie earlier in the show, but she was a great sport about it, like she always is. And I mean, that's one of the advantages I have here. You know, when you're in here recording a voiceover, you're recording PAs for training camp, or you're recording something for Matt Smith down the hall at Kraft Sports Productions, I'm always rolling on you. And if you say something funny and I can use it in a kind and in jest manner, I will absolutely use it. So that was Bob's warning and kind of
I'm on notice now.
You're sort of christening into this community here. Because we are, you know, we are all about the Patriots. We are about all Patriots talk all the time. And that's one thing we maintain throughout all the different shows that we offer on this platform. But we do like to have a good time. And it is a long season. And, you know, we all get tired and we all get loopy at certain times. And we do like to have a little fun. And I think our listeners appreciate that little bit of a mental break now and then.
And, you know, I've really enjoyed listening to PFW in Progress and the other programs on this show. But as you noted, we're not going to go where those guys go from time to time. But I think those guys really offer great insight into this team and do a wonderful job breaking down the Patriots roster on a day-to-day basis, which isn't easy, especially when you get into the heart of training camp, for example. And I marvel at some of the programs they were able to produce over the course of the last few weeks, on those days in particular when there really wasn't much to report or much to discuss. Of course, in this climate of 24-hour sports talk radio, oftentimes storylines are overblown, and in the rare case, if not so rare, manufactured. But, it's great what we get to do over the course of the next 17 weeks, because we don't have to do any of that. We're going to talk about what just happened and what we expect to happen. We're going to break down the game from the previous Sunday or Monday and look forward to the game that's coming up. And, you know, as I said earlier, we're going to lean on the perspectives of a lot of other people, including our callers and emailers, to do that. And at the same time, as Kevin suggested too, we're going to try to have a lot of fun and inject some personality. And I'm especially excited about the opportunity, as a fan of this team, not only as a broadcaster and a professional, but as a fan of this team, to hear from those who share the passion for the Patriots, and in particular from those who have to do it from so far away, and to hear what it's like, for example, to follow this team from London or somewhere else in Europe, or even on the other side of the globe in the Pacific Rim. And as we move along, too, I want to hear the perspective of those fans on some of the issues that concerns the NFL. And for example, one that's on the horizon certainly is the move of a franchise or the expansion of the league into Europe. And will we see that, and will it work? And it would be great to hear from fans who have a better idea than we do.
Yeah, and who those decisions will directly impact too. When those decisions come down. And while we're on the topic of travel, Bob, I know one of the things I'm most looking forward to, and I told Zoe when I spoke with him a couple weeks ago about coming on this show and doing a segment, and he so graciously has granted us time today, and we hope that as we go along every Wednesday, maybe some of these Wednesdays he'll be able to join us in person for a little bit longer of a segment when he's not having a pool party for his son. Like today.
For Zoe, life is always a party.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's kind of the Gronk of the play-by-play / color community in the NFL here. He's Yo Soy Fiesta of the broadcast booth. But I'm looking forward to, having been privileged enough, Bob, to travel a fistful of times with you and Zoe and the rest of the contingent. One of the things I told Zoe when we were talking about, what the show was going to be about, and more in particular his segment, was, if something funny happens on the road and you can share, bring it up. People love that stuff, because not everybody gets to travel with the Patriots. It's a pretty special experience to get on that bus out there and get it, get the whole red carpet treatment from the state police escort to flying on a private charter. I mean, as a young guy, when I first started with this team in 2010, you're 23 years old coming straight out of college, and all of a sudden you're getting on a plane and you're looking up and it's like, oh, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are getting on the same plane I am. And then fast forward a year and a half to then going to the Super Bowl with these guys. I mean, it's a pretty unique experience that not everybody gets to do. Only a fistful of people in the world get to.
You're right, Kevin, and it's one we shouldn't take for granted. But you might be thinking about the head coach or the quarterback. I think I could speak for a few other people in our traveling party, knowing them as I do. We're more focused on the baskets of burgers and chicken sandwiches
absolutely.
And the food that they serve almost on a ceaseless basis.
So
that's one thing.
You will not go hungry on
a Patriots road trip. It is not to be taken for granted.
It's one of the few times in my life, Bob, that I've ever heard Zolak be quiet for an extended period of time because he was so busy shoving his face full of food.
Hey, we do have news to report periodically, of course, and these days it almost seems, on a nonstop basis, there is something to pass along with regards to Patriots news. And in this age of instant messaging and social media, we're already a bit late on a couple of moves the Patriots have made, but want to credit Field Yates of ESPN fame, ESPN Insider, ESPNBoston.com, of course, and a former member of the Patriots front office. Field Yates earlier reported that the Patriots have released defensive tackles Bruce Gaston and Kelsey Quarles, two guys they just picked up. Also, Mike Reese, the outstanding reporter from ESPNBoston.com, has reported that long snapper Charlie Hewlett has been released. Mike also passed along the note that Danny Aiken worked out for the Broncos on Tuesday, but is now back in Massachusetts. And quoting from Mike Reese 12 minutes ago, it's a strong possibility that Aiken re-signs in New England. Danny, of course, has been a long snapper for the Pats the last 3 years and was not on the 53-man roster at the end of training camp, but may very well be in the mix. Rob Ninkovich, for now, is the leading candidate, as a guy who once tried out for the New Orleans Saints as a long snapper, and as we know, has done it as recently as this preseason for a snap, and could be the guy for the Patriots on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins, though there are still other possibilities in the works for the Pats. And we talk about reaching out to folks from across the pond. Well, in this case, we're going to keep it within the Continental 48, but we're going to go across the country to Garrison in Southern California. Garrison, how are you today?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, one thing that really sticks out to me is I remember during the offseason, I heard some people on NFL.com saying about how they didn't believe Tom Brady was an elite quarterback anymore due to his low 60s percentage in the completion area. And, I kind of followed him a lot this offseason, and I really do think that they are the team in the AFC to really fear. I look at the Broncos, and, Peyton Manning is good. He's a clutch quarterback. I'm not trying to take anything away from what he's done. But something about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady is just, something you can't take away from them. They're really, really tough, and they're savvy as a couple. And I really do think that they're going to make a deep run in the postseason this year. You know, you look at the last 3 years, they've made it to the AFC Championship game. And, you know, they're almost there. And, you know, I think that a lot of people will come up and say, well, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. Well, that's true, but they've been in the competition every single year.
Yeah, Garrison, I think, you know, you look at the team's history in Super Bowls alone, since Belichick and Brady, you know, led the Pats to that first championship in 2001. They won a couple of those Super Bowls decided by the narrowest of margins, and then they lost two Super Bowls decided by the thinnest of margins. So, you know, I think you look back just a couple of years ago against the Giants most recently, and, you know, you could very well be talking about a fourth championship. So, you know, I think for them to do what they do consistently, to be in the hunt and to have gone to an AFC championship game at least the last 3 years is pretty remarkable, especially taking into account all the adversity they faced in the form of injuries last year.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, too. And I really think that the addition of Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner is really going to make that defense that much better. I just think that the pass rush needs to be more consistent and step it up a little bit. But, you know, I'm really excited to see what they're going to do this year. And it's almost getting me a little jittery because, you know, I know how good Tom Brady is. But, you know, one thing that still has me is I want him to get that fourth ring. And We all know that when the quarterbacks get up to 37 and older, that the window's starting to close. But, you know, I have my hope and my faith in that team. I just really, really think that Belichick's going to use Revis in the most amazing way. You look at Sherman, and, you know, Seattle's got a really good defense, but they play a lot of cover three and some press coverage as well. And I think that, you know, if he uses Revis as, you know, how they did New York on Revis Island, I think that they'll be the most successful that way. But, you know, we know Belichick, and we know that he's got something up his sleeve. He always does. We look at the Logan Mankins trade, and, you know, Belichick doesn't trade away a player unless he's no longer elite.
Or at least, you know, it could be a case of getting rid of a guy that, you know, too soon rather than too late, not wanting to make that mistake. I still think Logan Mankins is among the league's best at his position, but, you know, as he himself said, you know, you reach a certain age and you play that particular position. At his age, with his experience, you're definitely not on the upswing. So, you know, I think Mankins discussed that when he went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and really did such a classy way of handling the situation as to be expected. But you make a lot of interesting points, and you talk about the way Revis will be used. Going back to last year, we saw Aqib Talib employed in similar fashion in a couple of critical games early in the year, and most notably against Jimmy Graham when the Patriots shut him out in that win over New Orleans. When Talib was healthy, he was that lockdown guy. Now the Patriots have gone out to get a guy who I think universally is viewed as an upgrade in Darrell Revis. And I think what we'll see from the Patriots defense, frankly, is a lot of looks. It's going to be a multiple defense. I think we saw a lot of 34 in the preseason, but I wouldn't expect this team to be constant. I think that they're going to change what they do. It's a game plan type of team on both sides of the ball. So I think there is a lot of reason for optimism, not only because of the addition of Revis, but really the development of players like Jamie Collins and Chandler Jones, and in addition, you know, a guy like Alphonso Dennard in the secondary, and Logan Ryan, although he has struggled a little bit in the preseason games, nonetheless in year two for him after the promise he showed last year. Now you talk about those guys complementing what Revis has done and what Revis can do, and a guy like Kyle Arrington.
Devin
McCourty, absolutely. So there's still some questions, though. There's still some questions, and, you know, I think foremost among them on defense is the other safety spot. But then again, you wind up playing two-thirds of the time in sub-packages. I think because of the flexibility and versatility defensively of the Patriots personnel, you know, we can see a lot of cornerbacks employed in safety-like roles. And,
exactly.
You know, and I think that, you know, that's the thing that this team has right now is versatility on both sides of the ball, and the same thing for the defensive front. We're seeing the Patriots get faster in a lot of respects. I mean, the drafting of a player like Dominique Easley seems to be an indication of that, a guy who's a versatile player. He's had his injury problems, as we know, but when healthy, has been an explosive pass rusher and is someone who I think that they can maneuver a bit along that defensive line. And I think a guy like Jamie Collins is a perfect example of the modern-day NFL, a standout in waiting on the defensive side, a guy who can do different things for you, can cover as a linebacker, can defend the run, can rush the quarterback. I mean, we live in an era of really two-down linebackers anymore, but Jamie Collins is a guy who really is going to be on the field, I think, throughout, and can do a lot of different things for the defense. But, you know, as I said, there are questions nonetheless about the Patriots coming into this season, and frankly, the Broncos, in my opinion, are still the team to beat. I mean, they are the defending AFC champion. The Broncos did try to instill toughness with some moves. John Elway spent a lot of time during free agency talking about that, wanting to get tougher. They made moves, of course, to try to shore up their defense. On offense, they added Emmanuel Sanders, though they did lose no Sean Moreno. He was a 1,000-yard rusher with more than 500 yards receiving last year for them. We know about the Welker situation. Of course, he's going to be unavailable, at least for the four-game suspension, and of course, still has the lingering question marks regarding the concussion issue and his health, having incurred three concussions that we know of in the last 10 months. So the Broncos have question marks, but, you know, again, they are the team that reigns as the defending AFC champion. Peyton Manning last year may not have thrown the ball with the velocity of a young Peyton Manning coming out of the University of Tennessee, but nonetheless had an historically great year when it comes to the numbers that he produced and the offense that the Broncos put on the field a year ago. No Eric Decker, who was a big matchup problem for the Patriots in last year's AFC Championship game, though. And again, there are questions about the Broncos, including how they'll handle their interconference schedule, because they play the NFC West this year, and that's going to make life more difficult for Denver trying to earn that number one seed in the AFC once again. And you're talking about potential showdowns in the playoffs. Again, so pivotal to be at home. And last year, the Patriots lost out on that top seed and had to go to Denver, as we know, and didn't fare so well a Mile High. We'll continue with more of our show, the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots Radio, after these words. But again, I want to remind you to join us via email at webradio@patriots.com or 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. More after this.
We're NRG. And we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. It's time now to get the view from the other side as we use our press pass exclusively on the Bob Sosi Show.
And we welcome you back, of course, here on Patriots Radio. And we welcome in our special guest today, who's in his 10th season on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, but, of course, has had a much longer association with the Dolphins and certainly a distinguished broadcasting career, the former wide receiver for the Dolphins. 7 seasons spent as a wide receiver out of Penn State, Jimmy Cefalo. And if you're a football fan who grew up with the Today Show on a regular basis to start your mornings, you know him in many roles as a broadcaster. And, Jimmy, it's great to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you this weekend when the Patriots open the season in Miami. How are you today?
Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're excited about the season opening. We're expecting just about a sold-out crowd, a lot more than 70,000 at Sun Life Stadium. Everybody's excited about the Patriots coming to town this week.
Jimmy, after such a tumultuous 2013 in a lot of respects and to have been poised to make the playoffs as the Dolphins were after that Week 15 win over the Patriots, to have gone through what they did, of course, with the incognito Martin Skettlen come through it under Joe Philbin, and then to finish with those losses against Buffalo and New York and make the changes they did in the offseason offensively, what's the sense? Is there an air of optimism going into this campaign? Is there a feeling that you've kind of been through the worst of times last year?
Yeah, there is an air of optimism. The offense has been completely rejiggered. Bill Lazor, who was the quarterback's coach in Philadelphia, under Chip Kelly, is now the coordinator for the Dolphins, and you're going to see the same up-tempo style offense that they ran in Philadelphia. And, Tannehill's looked better, stronger in the pocket, more definitive, balls coming out of his hands a lot quicker. The offensive line has been completely rebuilt. You've got 5 brand-new starters. Of course, Mike Pouncey's in the middle. He's hurt. He probably will not play. I doubt that he will play for the first couple of weeks, but he's the all-pro center. Stabs and Vitale will play in his spot. The Dolphins are going to have Brandon Albert, the all-pro left tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs. And on the right spot, they were the number one selection of the 19th pick in the first round. They picked Juwan James, who's really surpassed all their expectations there. So it's going to be a much better offensive line. They gave up 58 sacks last year. Tannehill didn't have too much time to throw the football, and despite that, he threw just about 4,000 yards, just under that number. Sean Moreno is a running back. Signed to a free agent contract from the Denver Broncos. He's looked really good when he's played. Hasn't played much in preseason. So overall, that offense is a much different one than what you saw the last time these two teams met.
You know, in talking about Tannehill, too, because we saw him so poised engineering the 2-minute drive last year and coming back to win the game in Week 15, and you talked about the duress that he was under all year long, including 6 sacks in New England. The ball's coming out quicker. Is that a nature of the offense under Bill Lazor? Or is it also a combination of that offense plus the development of Ryan Tannehill?
I think it's both. I mean, Tannehill, one thing we know about him is he's extraordinarily intelligent. Here's a guy who wants to be an orthopedic surgeon when it's all done, and he's got all the academic credentials to do it. So he's very, very smart, makes good decisions, great deal of poise. But I think more so it's the nature of the offense that Bill Lazor's put together. You know, they're moving people around. Before, in the old offense, Mike Wallace, for example, extraordinarily fast wide receiver, came from the Steelers to Miami. He would stay in the same spot every time. He lined up in the same position and never moved. Now you'll have Wallace moving quite a bit, both in the flank position and then into the backfield doing something. So there's a lot of movement. The ball comes out of the hand quickly. They know exactly where they want to go, when they want to get to it. And so it's not a slow, plodding kind of an offense that it really was last year in a more old-style pro set. Now it's a lot of movement, a lot of quickness. They'll be faster at the line of scrimmage. I don't know how much no-huddle will go, but I expect there'll be some no-huddle. But it's not Chip Kelly's offense. It's Bill Lazor's offense, but he learned a lot under Kelly last year in Philadelphia, and you'll see some of the same trademark.
We're joined by Jimmy Cephalo, the former Dolphin receiver and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, of course, calling the play-by-play of Sunday's game between the Patriots and Miami to open the 2014 season. Staying with Tannehill for a moment, too. We've seen what Nick Foles did in that Eagles offense, 27 TDs, two interceptions a year ago. When you look at Tannehill, it seems like this offense is also well-suited to his legs and his athleticism. How much of a running threat do you expect him to be?
Well, remember, he was a wide receiver at Texas A&M for his first two seasons. He didn't switch over to be a quarterback till the end of his sophomore year, beginning of his junior season. So there's a lot of seasoning both in the quarterback spot for him to develop, and now his third year as an NFL quarterback, but also he had the ability as a wide receiver to play that position. So he can run the football, and he will run it some on Sunday. And they're not afraid to let him, you know, take off. But in order to do that, they've got to develop a bit of a running attack, and that was one of their issues last year. They've gone to a zone blocking technique, which Knowshon Moreno ran last year in Denver, and their new line coach came from Houston, where they also ran it. All that takes is vision and speed. Moreno has great vision. He doesn't have the speed that Lamar Miller has. Lamar Miller of the University of Miami, by the way, has tremendous speed. And so with that zone blocking technique, it's all about read and cutting back a lot against the grain completely and totally. So you get a lot of cut blocking by those offensive linemen. It's a completely different offense than we're used to seeing down here, and I'm excited to see if they can establish a bit of a running game, which they were not able to do last year. Then you have a much more effective Tannehill in running the football with play action, you know, and just a little bit of sleight of hand.
Well, I don't have to tell you about Knowshon Moreno did against the Patriots last year, in particular in the regular season, with well over 200 yards. I mean, how do you anticipate those two backs splitting time, or will we see them together at times?
You will once in a while, not often. Knowshon Moreno's a downhill runner. You know, he's one step in the ground and go. And he likes to use, you know, what he's got, his strength, to be able to run people over, hit the hole quickly and do it that way. Miller, on the other hand, is just blazing speed. He's certainly will be one of the fastest people on the field on Sunday. He always is. But Mike Wallace is there, at least from the Dolphins sideline. I mean, they're stride for stride. So he's got a great deal of speed. And that's the changeup that you'll see. The other thing about Moreno, you'll see him on passing downs, predominantly because he's a very good blocker. And that was one of the other problems the Dolphins had last year. Not only was their offensive line porous, but their running backs couldn't block on third down circumstances. They couldn't pick up a scraping linebacker or a defensive end when they needed to. But Moreno can do that, and so that's a large part of why you'll see him on third down come Sunday.
Jimmy, can you put into words just how much Charles Clay has developed from the time he came into that offense? I mean, really a jack-of-all-trades going back to his collegiate career, and now one of the better tight ends in the NFL, who is lined up in a variety of ways.
Yeah, he's really been, a pleasant surprise. When he first came in, I'm not sure that he ran the kind of patterns he's able to run today. He's always had very good speed. He's got good size. And that combination, as you know, with the terrific tight ends you've had in New England, can be deadly against a strong safety or a linebacker who's got to cover him. But Clay runs very good patterns. He's tough, and he's got very good hands. And that's really the combination you need to be able to be a successful tight end. Clay's got all of them. He was banged up. He only played about 10 plays this year in preseason, but he's back healthy and ready to go. And when he did play, he made a dent. So Charles Clay will be a very important part of this offense. And when you look at the wide receivers combined with Clay, you know, you've got Hartline on one side. He's coming, trying to, you know, he'll go after his third consecutive 1,000-yard season. Mike Wallace on the other side. You got Brandon Gibson, who was injured last year, terrific move receiver in the slot. And then you got Landry, the young guy, second-round draft pick out of LSU, who showed tremendous poise, great hand, and good ability to find a space and sit down in it. So that combination of wide receivers is probably the strength of the entire football team here in Miami. You add Clay to the mix, and you really do have the potential for a very good offense. You know, we said it very quietly, Roger, because it's been a long time since a guy with a number 13 on his back put together a great offense around here. So we're pretty cautious about it, but optimistic in a sense.
And, you know, I don't mean to spend too much time on Tannehill, but as you've described him, he seems like the kind of guy who might have the makeup to handle it and to give Miami finally that long-tenured presence under center to follow Dan Marino all these years later.
Yeah, he might. He seems to have the makeup mentally. He's very tough mentally, very smart, as I said, understands the game. You know, it's inevitable that whoever lines up behind center is going to be compared to Marino, just the way it's going to be down here. And yeah, he hasn't played it down in, what, 15 years or so. You know, and then the guy who sits next to me who does the color of the broadcast booth, Bob Greasy's the other one. You know, we've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks here. And so, you know, you look at the two of them, and they both did things differently. But every other quarterback will always be compared to them. Marino was compared to Greasy. What can he do? Can he bring us to a Super Bowl? Can he win a championship? And now Tannehill will do the same things, comparing him to the record book. Can he light up the field the way Marino did? Can he carry an offense on his back the way he did? And I think he's smart enough to understand that that's part of the game. If you're going to get the big bucks and be an NFL quarterback, you've got to put up with all the talk shows and all the columnists who want to go after you every time you have a poor game and want to praise you to the heavens when you have a good one.
Mm-hmm. Finally, in our last couple of moments with Jimmy Cephalo, I want to address the defense in two areas. First, let's talk about the front seven, because we know how talented that front seven is. It did lose Paul Soliai, but you got Earl Mitchell. As good a defensive front in your mind, in particular those four down linemen, as there is in the NFL?
Well, it's a good group. I mean, the difference between Soliai and Mitchell is that Mitchell is a penetrator, and Soliai was just a girth that was immovable. And that's the difference. The Dolphins fell down last year against the run. In each of the previous couple of years, they were top 10 against the run. Last year, they slipped out of that. They gave up, I believe, 126 yards or so per game. That's got to stop. And the reason, the large part of it wasn't their front four. It was their linebacking crew. They moved them around a little bit. Same starting linebackers, but Cole Meese has been moved from outside to inside. Ellerby has been is on the other outside spot, and Wheeler. Now, same guys, but more comfortable in these positions. They did not tackle well in the beginning of preseason, and that's the concern. I think the Patriots were ninth in the NFL in rushing last year, and if you get a running game going with Tom Brady at quarterback, the Dolphins understand that it's a very long afternoon. So their cornerbacks are better. You got Cortland Finnegan, who was a former All-Pro, who was banged up, had some problems in Tennessee, but he's still a very good football player. And Grimes on the other side was an All-Pro last year. Dalmas, they took into the safety spot from Detroit. And you know, you look across the board, and it's a pretty good defensive football team that's been top 10 in scoring defense in each of the last 2 years. So that's where they are. It's more of a bend-don't-break offense, or defense, rather. But you know, they understand playing against Brady, it's just as difficult as a test gets in the NFL, especially in week one.
Hey, Jimmy, on a parting note, for those of us who didn't play the game, especially at that level, maybe we overstated, but for the Dolphins to have broken through last year, I know Miami's always been a tough team to play for the Patriots, but nonetheless, New England has had a lot of success in recent seasons, of course. But for the Dolphins to break through the way they did late in the year, to win coming from behind, and then keeping the Patriots off the board in the last couple of minutes, is there any carryover from that emotionally, mentally, for this Dolphins team?
I really don't think so. I mean, it's two different complete seasons, different makeup of team. The Dolphins have 12 rookies on this team. Mm-hmm. Four are undrafted rookies, and so they have no idea what it was like. You know, Michael Thomas made an interception on a Brady pass late in the game last year to seal it at Sun Life Stadium. I'm sure for him it'll be carryover. You know, I mean, people are still talking about it today, in a sense, but I think the team has put that away, and they realize the challenges they've had over the past 6 or 8 months won't go away until they start winning football games, and they got to do it against top football teams like the Patriots.
Well stated. New season, and of course, looking forward to the opener on Sunday. Jimmy, I appreciate your time very much. I've been a fan for a long time and enjoyed your work on NBC through the years, and of course, now getting a chance to talk to you today. Thanks so much.
Look forward to seeing you again. Thanks very much for having me.
All right.
Take care.
Jimmy Cephalo, of course, the former wide receiver of the Dolphins, and along with Joe Rose and Bob Greasy, handling the play-by-play on the Dolphins radio network. And of course, he hit on so many different important points during our conversation, all of which to keep in mind as the Patriots take on their division foe this Sunday, shortly after 1 o'clock with a kickoff, of course, at Sun Life Stadium in South Florida. Interesting, too, to hear about the Dolphins' anticipated crowd. The Dolphins have struggled in recent years, of course, trying to fill Sun Life Stadium. In fact, in preparing for this game, it's been interesting to cook around the various websites, the Sun Sentinel in South Florida, the Miami Herald, and certainly the Dolphins have staged quite an advertising campaign, a marketing campaign to sell tickets for the upcoming season. So it's interesting to see that, again, there is a sense of excitement shared by the fans at Sun Life Stadium, a stadium that is undergoing some renovations. They're going to overhaul that stadium and have it ready for 2017 through the 2016 season. There will be renovations ongoing at Sun Life Stadium. They, of course, had tried to get funding for a new facility just a couple of years ago. It didn't go through. The Dolphins have now been at Sun Life Stadium for a long period of time. It has hosted four Super Bowls, but it is a structure that is due for change, and it is certainly going to undergo a significant renovation. $350 million spent by owner Stephen Ross toward that end. And it seems like it's a team, too, that in a lot of different respects is under construction still as we speak, as Jimmy Cephalo said, with 12 rookies on this team, which showed a lot of promise last year, but at the end of the season, nonetheless, seem to be the same old Dolphins without Dan Marino, of course, struggling those last two games, scoring just 7 points in the final 25 possessions for Miami a year ago against the New York Jets and Buffalo Bills to close out the campaign and miss out on the playoffs once again. But as Jimmy told us, again, you know, what transpired last year, good, bad, and otherwise for Miami, and likewise the Patriots, irrelevant at this stage as we prepare for Sunday afternoon. Want to thank you so much for joining us on this initial program on Patriots Radio, the Bob Soucy Show. Again, I look forward to talking to you next week. We'll look back at what happened in South Florida this Sunday and take a look ahead at next Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock when the Patriots travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The Patriots playing the first of their four games against the NFC North next Sunday afternoon. And again, look forward to talking with Scott Zolak, Jackie Britton, and crew, a player and coach for the Patriots, perhaps, and as well somebody representing the media from Minnesota who knows the Vikings inside and out, and hopefully the same way that Jimmy Cephalo did today. Our thanks to him and the rest of our guest, Evan McCourty, and the aforementioned Scott Zolak and Jackie Britton, and most of all, special thanks to Kevin Collins, who had to bear with me and carry me through these first 2 hours. I will talk to you again next Wednesday from 4 to 6 here on Patriots Radio. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five, he dives to the end zone, touchdown, and the lead for the Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right, Ridley dives to the goal line, he's in again, touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shot to snap to Manning. Play fake, a throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving, break on the ball.
He's got it!
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it!
Patriots take over!
This place is berserk!
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.